It is truly, once again, good to be able to come on this Sunday evening, Lord's Day, to worship God in a fashion that is pleasing and acceptable in His sight. And as we come together, knowing that one day this life will end, and that home in heaven above, where our Lord reigns, we will be able to spend our eternity with Him and be able to praise Him around the throne forever and ever. Sorry about that. As we come together on this evening, I want to start out first and say how wonderful it is to be able to look in God's Word and see what He desires of our souls, our lives, to be spiritually fit. Chris came forward on this evening during the men's training class. And many of you know Chris. He's sitting over there. He's not smiling, but, well, now he is. Chris has been with us since we moved here in the end of March of 2013. We went to pick Chris up in July, and he's been with us in and out. You all see him walking up and down the aisles. You see him on the corner. Chris never placed membership here. Chris is grown. He's not living in our house. He does not have to follow our rules. And he decided today that he wanted to place membership with the congregation here. And to confess sins and to ask for prayers. And we have always, since we've been here, asked for prayers for Chris on his behalf. And we pray for him. And I mentioned to him that now that he says he wants to place membership, there's none of this getting up and leaving when he gets ready. Ushers, make sure y'all tell him to turn around and get back to his seat. If he act up, then I'll help you out. But he'll listen. He'll listen, and you all know that. Spiritual fit. I believe that not just Chris, but many of us need to understand what it means to be spiritually fit. Knowing that God desires us to be. We looked at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 this morning, and as we looked at it, we picked two words out of it. And as we picked two words out of that verse, we looked at what it meant in order to serve God in a fashion that He's pleased with. Understanding what respecting God is all about. And we continued on and knowing that God's name is, you know, deserved to be reverend or reverence to Him. Knowing that the Scripture is not of any private interpretation, but it is God's Word, God's breed Word. And knowing that heaven is a place where we can spend our eternity. So we continue to think about our lives and continue to think about what we need to do in order to be pleasing to God. The plan that we look at, the plan that we recognize, is a plan that God set in place, not man. Because man's plans will always fail to a certain extent. But God's plan will never fail. Never. He created Adam and Eve in the garden, and as He created them, He communed with them. This was His plan, to commune with man. Adam and Eve sinned. They separated themselves away from God. We understand even today that our sins, our iniquities, separate us away from God. What are we going to do about it? How can we rectify this problem? How can we realize this problem? Well, we go to Romans chapter 3 and the verses 23. Romans chapter 3 and the verses 23. Because we have to know what God's plan is. And as we know what God's plan is, we can do something about it. It's very simple. Why do we need His plan? Well, the scriptures teach us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we need a plan. When things don't go your way, you go back to the drawing board and you began to write things down and you began to try to work things out. God has worked them out for us. All we have to do is pick it up and read it. The old saying goes, when all else fails, follow the instructions. I beg to differ. I think that we need to follow the instructions before things fail. Before they fall apart. Before you began to put something together and have extra screws left over and say, oh, those were just extra. We didn't need them. Now, the companies have gotten smart. They count each nut and each bolt and they put the number on that paper and you're supposed to use every last one of them. When we find that we have sinned and we need to get our lives right with God, it's for a reason. It's not, you know, just to say, oh, look what I've done. I'm going to check this block and everything is going to be okay. But we're doing it for a reason. We would like to get to heaven one day. For it says in Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the plan. This is not by any other man, but through Jesus Christ. This is the only way we're going to get to the Father. Amen. If you fail to recognize who Jesus Christ is, if you fail to recognize what the plan is, then the Bible teaches us the wages of sin is death. You're going to be separated from God throughout all eternity in torment, wishing that you have gotten your life together before you die. Scriptures teach us that it's appointed unto man once to die and after this to judgment. It's the plan, God's plan, not for man to live forever. You know, we like to say, you know, I love my wife and I love my husband. I love my children, my mother, my father, and I just don't never want to let go of them. But if all in that family will turn to God, you don't ever have to worry about losing them. But if one decides that they want to live a different way other than what the plan says, then yes, you will be separated away from them. So let's continue to do what we know to be right. The plan in Romans chapter 1, the verses 16. Actually, I'm going to back up to verse 15 and come down through verse 17. Romans chapter 1, as Paul writes to the church of Rome, he says, "For so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Why am I not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The plan. Why do we need God's plan? Why do we need it? We need His plan in order for us to be saved. We need His plan to recognize why He sent His Son down here upon this earth. He didn't send Jesus just to be sending Him. When you were told, or when you were told as children, and some children are still being told, I need you to go to the store, and then you told what to go to that store to get. They would just tell you to go to the store and hang out there. And hopefully it'll come to mind what you're supposed to do. No, you go to that store for a reason. Jesus came to this earth for a reason, and that reason was to save His people from their sins. We find it in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. So we need to understand spiritual fitness. What is it all about? Once again, it's about exercising, to have the diligence, to have this effort to do the work in order to be pleasing unto God. We found this morning as we looked at studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. We found the self-control where we need to buffet our bodies daily as Paul buffeted his body daily, because remembering that we can fall short of glory. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And some have fallen short and never got up from where they have fallen. Then we need to understand what the proper diet is. It's God's Word. And we need to keep studying God's Word. And we need to keep applying God's Word in order to have this godliness in our lives, where God can look at us as He looked down at Job and say, "Have you considered my servant?" Whoever. A just and upright person, one that fears God and shuns evil, stays away from those things that are not right. This is what, you know, having godliness in our life is all about. In order for us to gain eternal life, so we hope for it. But remember, once we get there, all that hope is removed. And then, of course, great is the mystery of godliness. It's here. We see it in Scripture. We understand that Jesus came. He walked this earth. He was crucified. He was buried. He was raised up on the third day to ascend into heaven, to set up on the right hand of the Father, to make intercession for you and I. For one day, we will have to show ourselves unto God. And we will stand before the judgment seat. And if we have not saved ourselves and others by the word in which we have studied, shame on us. Shame on us. Remembering what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. "Not everyone that said unto me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." So we need to start applying God's word to our lives in order to maintain a life of spiritual balance. You know, we look at the divine side in salvation. Many times people say, "Oh, this is all God. You don't have to do anything." Well, God has done His part. You can rest assured. We already looked at Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, but also in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God, you know, as He sent Jesus to this earth in order to be crucified, He teaches us that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's not just believing and being baptized, but it's believing throughout all of your life. Knowing who Jesus is and continuing to confess or profess Him to others so that they may know who He is and decide to turn their lives over to Him as well. The divine side in salvation. God is involved. Our Lord and Savior is involved, for we find that without Him, there would be no church. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. As Jesus talks to Peter here, in verse 17, He says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you also that upon this rock, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." It's important to know that God has a part in our salvation. Jesus has a part in our salvation. The Spirit has a part in our salvation. But not them only. Not them only. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Knowing who Jesus Christ is, understanding who God is, and knowing what we need to do. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 said, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Chapter 2, starting with verse 8. Chapter 2, starting with verse 8. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any should boast." Any man should boast. Now, I want you to look at verse 8 one more time, for it tells us, as I look at here and I talk about the divine side of salvation, verse 8 plainly lets you know, again, says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." The gift of God. What must we do in order to appreciate what God has done for us? Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. You know, we need to consider, you know, what everything that we do, and we need to consider every way that we go. And we look in and we talk about, God, I need you to direct my path. God, I need you to do this for me. God, I need you to do that for me. When are we going to just say, Lord, I know who you are, and nothing I do, nothing I say is of anything that's going to benefit me, and say, bring all the glory my way. It's all toward him. Says again in Jeremiah 10:23, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So we need his plan. And we need to follow his plan. We don't need to go to the left. We don't need to go to the right. But we need to follow his plan to the letter. You're not going to get to heaven any other way but following the plan that has been laid out for us. The divine side in salvation. We need God to direct our steps. But as he directs our steps, we have to be willing to follow. We have to be willing to follow. There have been so many people that have decided, yes, I see that that's what it says in the Word, but I'm not going to do it. You can't make me do it. I heard it today. You're not my daddy. You're not the boss of me. God is our creator. He's the boss. And we need to follow his way. Otherwise, we're going to be lost. We're going to be lost. In the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 38, what if those men on the day of Pentecost had that attitude, the ones that obeyed? What if they decided they wanted to have that same attitude? I don't believe that the gospel message would have ceased being preached. But I do believe that those men that decided that they didn't want to follow, many of them died. But the ones that did want to follow, we find as we continue to read through the book of Acts, the good works that they did. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, after Peter stood up with the rest of the apostles, he preached unto these men here. The question was asked in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? Did you see either any of them, or did you hear Peter say it? You don't have to do anything. God has already done it. It's not there, is it? See, we want to look at a life of spiritual balance here. We want to understand what it means to be spiritually fit. It means that we need to follow God's word. We need to exercise our right in doing the things that God wants us to do, in studying his word, and having this godliness that God would allow us to profess in our lives. Look at it. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Lord Jesus. Why? For the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he continues in verse 39, for the promises unto you, unto your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse 40. This is the verse that we need to look at and that we need to consider and that we need to point people toward when they say, oh, this is all about God. You don't have to do anything. He says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourselves. Now, as he said that, did everybody there on the day of Pentecost, did they all say, hey, I'm going to leave everybody else behind and I'm going to follow after God? No, all of them didn't do it. He tells us in verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. It's a pretty good number. And the number that were baptized realized that it wasn't just what God had done, but it was what they were going to do in order to be saved. They had to be obedient. They had to hear what Peter said, and they had to exercise their right in order to obey the gospel by saying, you know, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and having their sins washed away in the watery grave, putting Jesus on through the watery grave of baptism. Romans chapter 6 teaches us, you know, as they come out of that water, that they come out of that water to walk a newness of life. They had a part to play, and we have a part to play today. And we need to continue to exercise the things we know to be right. The human side, we need to continue to tell people about what they need to do in order to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 8. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 8. And besides this, giving all diligence to add unto your faith. First, you've got to have that faith. It's like making a cake. You got to have that first ingredients, you know, in order to do something. We have the bowl, and the first thing we want to put in the bowl, it may be the flour, it may be the sugar, whichever thing you want to put in there first, you're going to have to add something into it in order to get the cake. In order to be who God wants us to be spiritually fit, we have to add unto our faith virtue, and to our virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. You see it? Can you see that some of our lives may not be spiritually fit? That we may not have a life of spiritual balance? There are some things that are missing, and we need to have those things in our life in order for God to say, yes, you are doing what you're supposed to do. And come judgment, if we die before the Lord comes back, and we're there in paradise, or we're there in torment, that we're going to hear one or two commands to tell us that our life was or wasn't spiritually fit, or we didn't have that spiritual balance. Either enter in, my good and faithful servant, or depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Which one do you want to hear? You know, you will always want someone to come by you and tell you, oh, you're doing a good job. Keep on doing what you're doing. No one ever liked for someone to come to them and say, oh, you're doing that all wrong. You know, when we have that happen to us as being members of the Lord's church, they say, oh, you're not teaching that right. And you say, well, let's go to the book. Let's look in the book, you know, because this is our direction. This is the plan. This is what we're supposed to be following after. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. What type of life are you really living? You know, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And as we look at here in Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit, one thing that I want you to get out of it, if nothing else, no matter how many of these things you profess in your life, no matter, you know, how much you do these things, the end is this, that there is no law against these things. No law at all. Can't love too much. Can't love too much. It says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. None at all. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. This is the human side in salvation. Some things that we must do, and then there are some things that we must not do. It's not always do this, do this, do this. Sometimes it's don't do this. And we have to recognize both of them. We don't do what we're supposed to do, we're not going to get what we want. We're not going to get what God has promised to us. He's promised eternal life to us. But if we die in our sins, we will not gain eternal life. And I don't really believe that was the end of it. But you know what? I want you to know, as we go back to the book of Acts chapter 2, that God has set the plan. He has given you the tools in which you need in order to be spiritually fit. He's given you all that you may desire. But we're gonna have to move. We're gonna have to put some things into action. And as we put them into action, every now and then, we go back and we pick up the book and we look at it to make sure that we're doing these things in order. Making sure that we're teaching people the way we're supposed to teach them. Making sure that when we have the opportunity that we're doing good to others. Making sure that when we find a lost soul that, you know, that has slipped by the wayside, that we lend a helping hand to help them out of the ditch. That's what it means by being spiritually fit. Now, who of us want someone to pass by us when we're doing something wrong without saying, hey, you need to correct that? Who of us wants someone to walk past us when we're doing something good and went out there and said, hey, you're doing a good job, keep on doing it? That doesn't matter to me if you ever tell me I'm doing a good job. It doesn't matter at all. You know, I tell people that sometimes. Why don't you go and do something and leave before someone sees you doing it? Remember who's going to give you your reward in the end anyway. One day, we're going to have to stand before the judgment throne. And as we stand there, some are going to be like those in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. But Lord, have we not prophesied in our name, and our name, you know, cast out demons in our name, done many wonderful works? Some of us are going to be like Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, when you think that you can buy your way into heaven, and when someone say, hey, your money is going to perish with you. And we're going to be saying, pray for me that these things don't happen. What is your condition on today? Are you a child of God? If not, why not? We're asking you to come forward to make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have your sins washed away. Maybe you're here and you're straight away and you're ready to come back to the fold. What's holding you back? What is the delay? What is out there that has a hold on you that's keeping you from being faithful? Only you know. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.